Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22 million.
Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every packed check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man. Let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. He said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up. Because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and he was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Austin Li Jiaqi is a 27-year-old beauty advisor turned live streamer and one of the top influencers in China. He once sold 15,000 lipsticks in only 5 minutes and has a following of 42.1 million fans on Douyin. Each month, he earns over $150,000. This was made possible because of live streaming e-commerce, a rising trend in China. In addition to making stars out of streamers like Li Jiaqi, it's driving billions of sales to e-commerce platforms. So how does it work? Generally speaking, it has similarities to traditional TV shopping. Products are showcased by hosts and sold at discount prices. But with live streaming, there's added real-time interaction. This allows audiences to ask questions about products, which streamers can directly answer. Things sold by live streamers include just about anything. Things like coats, lipsticks, a Maserati, an apartment, and even a rocket launch service. So this begs the question, what makes live streaming and e-commerce a good match? Live streaming entered China in 2015 and quickly gained popularity. By June 2019, the number of live streaming users reached 433 million, making up over 50% of Chinese internet users. Initially, live streaming was mostly for entertainment and socialization. But in 2016, Alibaba launched Taobao Live, adding a live streaming feature to the e-commerce platform. The aim was to entice users to spend more time on Taobao, and the strategy worked. During Singles Day 2019, users who watched live streaming spent an average of 53 minutes on Taobao, twice as much as those who didn't.
无论是说被人服务的这种感觉，然后交互的这种速度，还有这种信息量上，那其实直播都是更符合那个趋势的。
Taobao Live now has over 400 million cumulative users and exceeded a GMV of 28.3 billion last year. And it got another boost due to the coronavirus outbreak. Since physical stores were forced to stay closed during the pandemic, brand owners turned to live streaming to sell their products. Compared with January, the number of merchants that use Taobao Live increased by 719% in February. In fact, sales driven by the top two Taobao streamers, Via and Li Jiaqi, have already exceeded most physical stores. During Singles Day 2019, Via sold 2.7 billion yuan worth of products within 24 hours, with Li Jiaqi also selling over 1 billion. Due to their influence, top streamers hold great bargaining power over suppliers. This allows them to get products at the lowest price and helps attract more customers. Apart from full-time streamers, e-commerce live streaming also provided opportunities for farmers and small business owners. According to Kuaishou, over 19 million users have sold products on the platform by 2019, and 5 million of them are living in poor areas. In many cases, becoming a successful live streamer isn't something one can simply pick up. Most streamers are involved with MCNs, or multi-channel networks. These are talent incubators that train talent and offer assistance for growing fan base and connecting with brands. But very few of them can reach the level of Li Jiaqi and Via. The top live streamers contribute to more sales than those at the bottom. E-commerce companies are also looking toward live streaming for growth. JD.com, Pinduoduo, and Moguo are among the e-commerce companies to launch live stream features in recent years, while Kuaishou and Douyin also plan on becoming significant players in the market. On April 1st, Luo Yonghao, the charismatic founder of smartphone brand Smartisan, made his live stream debut on Douyin. He sold more than $15.5 million worth of goods in 3 hours. This partnership has marked Douyin's ambitions to challenge the incumbent leader Taobao Live. Live streaming e-commerce has also made its way outside of China. In Southeast Asia, Shopee and Alibaba-owned Lazada have also added live streaming to their platforms. So will live streaming change the e-commerce scene in China and the rest of the world? It remains to be seen, but there are some promising signs.
If you liked this video, hit the like and subscribe buttons. If you're interested in learning more about China's tech scene, visit creatia.com using the link in the description below.
It's said everyone has a story. China has almost 1.4 billion of them. From the mega cities to the vast countryside, from the ancient modern, it's our job to bring these stories to you, direct from one of the most rapidly changing nations on the planet.
I'm Laura Schmidt, and we're rediscovering China.
Today we're exploring marriage pressure.
我感觉我是个商品，感觉现在头上已经标着说打折。
Its causes, its consequences, and how China singletons are fighting back. Go on a shopping trip on a Saturday afternoon in downtown Beijing, and you might find something unexpected on offer.
报名吗？这是？可以现场报名。可以现场报名吗？啊，哎，但是你得报上名，然后才能拿那个号码，才可以中奖啊，或者怎么？你可以找。The
young men and women are making their way to a restricted area in the heart of the building. The details of the latest arrivals flash across a big screen, and the DJ is warming up the turntables. Then there's salsa. Welcome to Speed Dating, Chinese style.
If you ever needed proof that what China does, it does big, just take a look at this speed dating activity. Over 200 singletons are estimated to show up today and take a shot at finding true love and finding it fast. But this really hasn't been what I expected of a speed dating session. There's been a lot of dancing, a lot of loud music, and a lot of bright lights. Not really the perfect environment to chat and meet new people.
But that doesn't seem to have deterred our eager participants. They are part of the latest wave of singledom. There are currently over 200 million single people of marriageable age in China. That's virtually equivalent to the populations of the UK, Germany, and France put together. This has created a marriage economy, a feature of which is huge speed dating activities like this. In Beijing alone, the organizer, a dating website, holds hundreds of these events every year.
那这里当然为了相亲了。那有没有找到对象啦？嗯，没有。没有。特别遗憾。啊，平时工作是职业画家和平面设计师，所以我的工作就特别宅，所以就没有机会接触很多的人，所以就是借这个机会过来看看。当然，大家就是参加这种活动的人，大多数都比较内向，所以说这种活动也比较不好搞。
In a society where a third of young women admit they prefer watching TV drama series to socializing, and two-thirds of young men confess they'd rather stay at home surfing the internet, the chances of meeting Mr. or Miss Right are obviously limited. And even when they make the effort, full-on physical contact with a total stranger can feel a bit awkward. What these speed dating events set out to do is make people come out of their shell and see if there's a spark.
大家都在说现在单身女生年纪大也没什么不结婚也没什么，但其实内心还是会着急，而且就是有时候突然想到我过完年27岁了，就是不是我不想找，是我真的找不到合适的呀。但毕竟大家都不想一个人过。因为这20多年了，连女生手都没牵过，特别着急。然后我爸我妈也每次都催我，他们都说过年的时候找不到女朋友就别回来了。
In China, traditionally the cutoff line for what is considered marriageable age is 25 for men and 23 for women. But times are changing and so-called late marriages are becoming the norm. At the same time, the pressure to seal the deal is growing. Young Chinese are becoming increasingly anxious about being left over.
我们最早的时候，六年前，应该我刚刚接触这一行业的时候，基本上都是适婚年龄，二十七八岁、二十八九岁就觉得很年轻了。但是现在不一样了，现在我们可能有二十二三岁的女孩子，在学校的女孩子还有过来找要找女男朋友，就是年龄越来越低龄化。Zhang
Pengkun is a professional matchmaker with the largest dating website in China. She serves its VIP clients. While professional matchmaking is hardly a new concept in China, through the internet it has experienced a revival as services are moving online. The dating website Ms. Zhang works for claims to have around 200 million users.
我一直跟进了一个男会员终于有消息了，得给他打一个电话。哎，你好，请问是张先生对吗？哎，你好，我是百合网的顾问张鹏坤。然后其实有一些您具体的这个情况，我还想多跟您聊聊，可以吗？因为我看您是38岁，1米76的身高，然后是在美国留学回来，目前是一个单身的状态哈。 有过婚姻经历吗？嗯。
This kind of one-on-one dating advice is not cheap. The fees start at around $1,500 and can run up to over $7,000. Her clients do not want to reveal their identity, as being single is still considered a sensitive topic in China. And so it's only through talking to Ms. Zhang that we can get an insight into their dating wants and needs.
Women希望男人有责任心，然后最好是事业上有一点小成就。那男人呢，往往都是这样，就是哎，我看中的首先是年轻漂亮，然后相处之后是性格脾气。 好，今天要接待的两位会员，男士已经到了，就是这么休闲装就过来了，是吧？<笑>好，来，咱们这边来。男生坐这边吧，一会儿女孩子有包啊什么的，就放在这边舒服一点啊。然后可能会比较热，脱了外套。行。我看看整理一下，帅不帅？喝点什么呀？咖啡还是水？水就行。行嘞，那等一下啊。好。 哎，亲爱的，来了，怎么样？路上还堵车吗？还可以哈。啊，那个小李啊，已经到了。啊。哎，亲爱的，快过来，两个人认识一下，这是小刘，然后这是李先生，两个人认识一下，握个手吧。已经很长时间就期待这次见面了，那你们俩聊聊啊，然后我先过去。行嘞，好。 女孩子更为迫切，他们觉得，比如说我见了几个人之后还是不可以，那我再去，你快一点，快点给我介绍，那男人一般可能会没有那么急迫了，他会觉得说，哦，那好，没有遇到合适的，没关系，我现在35岁，我45岁的时候可以照样的找女朋友。This
rush to get married, especially for China's women, is not a new phenomenon. In fact, it has a long history.
那中国很多人都会说，不孝有三哈，无后为大。那么呢，一到了一定特定的年龄，你还没有结婚，还没有要结婚要孩子，那这件事情本身而言，就是父母会觉得面子上过不去。另外呢，还有就是孩子也会觉得，那我孝顺父母，我应该是首先要满足他们的心愿，包括也会有这样，就是到您这儿来，我能不能不去考虑结婚？ 但是你是为了就是让我的父母知道我在做这件事情，也会有这样的情况。In
the face of this immense pressure to bring home a partner, particularly over Chinese New Year, young Chinese have become incredibly creative in how to appease their parents. One option is to rent a fake boy or girlfriend online. So let's take a look how that works. 。This website's name translates as rentafriend.com. Their banner says their members offer services including traveling and meeting parents. There's even the possibility of a fake marriage. Users have profiles similar to social media sites and can upload photos, so potential partners can get a good look. Upon registering, I get asked a few rather personal questions, including my height, weight, and body shape. I'm not inclined to be entirely truthful. Signing up is simple enough. Now all I need to do is pick a person to pose as my boyfriend and get in touch. But what do their services actually include? So on one of the biggest forums in the Chinese web, we've discovered this post by a male person who offers their services as a fake boyfriend for Chinese New Year. So as you can see, it's a really detailed post. And services range from going shopping with you for around $3 per hour
to watching a movie at just over $1 per hour. He'll also go and see your parents, a little bit more expensive, at just over $7 per hour. And then there is the possibility of getting physical, so you can have a regular kiss for just under $1, fairly inexpensive, or French kissing for just over $1. And then, from what we can tell, there are also more intimate services on offer. So whether this is a fake boyfriend or something else is entirely up to you.
While we can't verify how serious that post was, this one seemingly is. We decide to get in touch with the young man advertising himself. He replies within minutes. As I pretend to be a Chinese girl facing marriage pressure, it occurs to me that you never really know who is on the other side of that screen. Is this really a good solution?
I wouldn't say it's probably a changing society. So for the old generation, they have very formulaic type of life, what is good and what is bad, but not the case for the new generation. So therefore, there's quite a lot of conflicts.
Okay. 好,我们继续啦。
In 2013, Professor Wang published a book on the economics of love and marriage. He is skeptical of the rent-a-boyfriend business.
I'm not entirely sure I really like that. But if you think that the old generation cannot change and there's no way to communicate, well, why not, right? I mean, it makes life a lot easier for everyone. And makes people a lot happier for everyone. However, I think that if I would like to say is maybe it is a good thing to try to get your parents to understand the problem rather than pretending the problem does not exist.
Renting a fake partner is a relatively new concept. A majority of young Chinese still choose to deal with their parents' nagging head on. Fei Wei is one of them. She is from Zhejiang province and works in Shanghai. She has a good degree and a good job. In her free time, she teaches floristry.
Hey, this 绣球就是国产的绣球，就只有这个颜色的，对不对？ 有没有稍微可以放得久一点的？
But none of her achievements seemed to matter the day she turned 25.
我过了25岁之后，我妈只要跟我打电话，说任何事情，她最后可能绕绕绕绕，都会绕到这个，为什么还没有找男朋友啊，最近有什么最新情况啊，然后跟大家在一起聊天，聊到我的时候，聊着聊着就回到了这个话题，那个时候我就觉得好像有一点压力了。你妈最近怎样啊？
最近我妈没啥实际行动，但是她会在言语有言语暴力。25岁已经走下坡路了，这是我妈的经典名言。我现在已经是一个就是需要打折才能出售的货。那她怎么把你出售啊？现在看起来这个货也不太好卖，所以我妈最近比较伤心。Fei Wei's hometown is just 40 minutes from Shanghai by high-speed train. However, the visits home are no longer a pleasure.
我现在把回家认为就是一个攻坚战，就我现在每次回去，我朋友说你去干嘛了，我都说我跟父母斗智斗勇去了，因为回家的话就可能就变成了全面战争了，就不止我要应付我爸妈，可能还有我爷爷奶奶、外公外婆，那还有我很多亲戚。Fei
Wei's mother is a small-town primary school teacher. Her colleagues and friends frequently ask about her daughter and whether she's still single. So she's merely passing on to her daughter the pressure she faces herself.
Fei-Fei is still very young. Why are you so worried about her getting married as soon as possible?
就剩下他一个人还没找对象，特别是他的外公啊、外婆、爷爷奶奶都年纪大的，更要提了，他们是年纪大了，啊，总是盼着这一天，看到他结婚这样子，催嘛是催他的，跟他说的，能够碰到合适的嘛，就是自己主动一点也没关系啊，但是最终还是要他决定了。
This is Daniel Yen and his girlfriend Wei Tang. Daniel returned to China after completing his studies in the UK and now manages a book cafe in Nanjing. He's 26. He and his girlfriend have been dating half, and now they've decided it's time to tie the knot.
A lot of people say, I think, yeah, Western, I think too. I mean, one man can wait. The girls on the other side is just...not like that. So my stress mostly comes from my girlfriends.
Well, for China's women, it's the prospect of aging and an idea that this makes them less valuable that creates marriage pressure. For China's men, it's mostly a financial headache.
我这边是比较惨。我大学毕业的时候，我想我说那个叫什么呢？那个，反正我当时是觉得我肯定是第一个结婚的，结果我到现在我周围的人都结婚了，就差我一个没结婚。我有个89年的朋友，现在孩子都3岁。
My girlfriend and her family are quite traditional. You know, like a traditional Chinese family, the wish that the wedding could be like huge or you know just like face stuff, right? Like they just don't want to lose face.So they kind of wishing the wedding should be like, amazing.
For Daniel, at the moment, marriage pressure translates into financial pressure. Even though the couple have tried to minimize the cost, they are still looking at a cost of over $20,000 for their wedding. In Chinese culture, it is the norm for the groom's family to pay for the wedding.But Daniel earns less than $1,000 per month, and his father, he won't pitch in. But Daniel's future in-laws still think it's his responsibility as groom to pay.
其实，所以我觉得，其实在这边，其实结婚其实有时候挺没意思的。你把什么事情都特别是物质方面的事情太掺杂在里面的话，觉得结婚一点意思都没有。所以搞得我现在。好像都没有什么太想结婚的一些想法了，就觉得
没有什么激情，
没有什么激情，累得不得了。
Nowhere is the pressure on young people to marry more visible than at the marriage market in Shanghai's People's Park. Here we see the extreme lengths parents are willing to go to in order to escape the embarrassment of an unmarried child.
We're here at People's Square, where once again hundreds of people have come to the market. But it's not just any kind of market. There are no properties or items on offer here, but rather actual people. Sons and daughters who are single and whose parents are desperately trying to match them up with the highest bidder. The tension in the air is tangible.
I'll give you a ticket. I'll give you a simple
situation. 83年，1995。
Height, age, income, education, household registration. A life's achievement summed up on a sheet of A4 paper pinned to an umbrella. Except the people on offer may not even know they're being advertised like this, and by their parents too.Who hide from the cameras for fear of being exposed.
You look at the Renmin Gongyuan in Shanghai, the success rate is remarkably low. And because I think that China has changed way too much, so it is very difficult for them to understand what their children actually like. So I think that the successful rate is going to be very, very low.
What is the effect of this marriage pressure on the economy, in your opinion?
Well, I think the more the pressure actually coming from too many single men rather than single men. Especially you can see that housing prices being one of the chief results of such kind of pressure for men to be able to find a good wife. One of my colleagues have done research in this and find out that this actually has been rather significant effect in pushing up housing prices.
Some people offer a slightly different take on who is affected more by marriage pressure, men or women. One of them is Joy Chen. She wrote a book advising young women in China not to marry before reaching 30. In this, she was encouraging them to fly in the face of the stigma of being a leftover woman, a term coined by the Chinese media almost a decade ago.
From a demographic standpoint, the leftover woman label is completely inaccurate. There are many more leftover men in society than there are leftover women. Yet this stigma persists. It starts to make women desperate. I mean, I've had women who tell me they're 20 and they're leftover, right? So women start to get very desperate as they near age 30 and say, if I don't marry the next guy who comes along, if I don't grab him and trap him, then it may be too late.
But that, argues Ms. Chen, is a potentially disaster. In her book, she encourages young women to first focus on becoming the person they want to be, to build a career, and most importantly, to wait for the right guy to come along. A marriage sealed in haste, she warns, won't end well.
I've seen studies that say that in Beijing and Shanghai, for people under age 30, who get married, the divorce rate is 60%. So I think it also comes back to a fundamental question about security. You know, I think that question really goes to the heart of this question of marriage and a basic assumption that marriage will bring you entering again. In fact, for the majority of young women in some of these big cities, marriage will lead to the exact opposite, which is divorce.
An upsurge in divorces resulted from the so-called first wave of singledom in China's cities. In the 1950s, the country's first marriage law finally enabled women to file for divorce. The 1970s saw a second wave after educated young men and women sent to the countryside from the city under a government policy were allowed to return home. In many cases, they left behind a spouse in the provinces. Then, in the 90s, China's opening up and reform led to a third wave as people questioned traditional family values. This latest wave was kicked off by rapid economic development and the increased independence of Chinese women.
那这成本回报，你觉得交男朋友有什么成本呢？有成本啊，时间成本啊，投入啊，包括情感沟通呀，对呀。那比方说有人陪你去玩呢，如果有一个你很喜欢一起去度假的人跟你去度假，你开不开心呢？很开心啊。然后你刚好在这个很开心的事情时候也认识了不同的朋友，对吧？这个是坏事吗？
不是坏事啊。那这个有，这个也没有成本呢？没有成本。也没有成本啊，对吧？所以我不见得有成本啊。长期的维护需要成本。那你不想维护的话就不维护咯。如果你刚好认识了很新鲜的东西，然后就很新鲜的东西变成了你很回味的东西，那就变成你很想继续再吃的东西，也不见得是个坏事嘛。也没有什么成本嘛，对吧？这问题是你要遇不遇得上咯。 What do you think is better for the economy, staying single, being married?
Well, then it depends on what you mean by the economy, right? Economics is about maximizing what we call the happiness or utility of human beings. And as a liberal economist, my belief is that do whatever that pleases you most probably maximizes the happiness of the society more.
In 2001, The Economist magazine highlighted the importance of single women to an economy. As more of China's women are choosing to stay single and becoming increasingly independent, they consume more, spend more and thereby contribute more to the economy.
If there are a lot more single women, we probably should have more services catering for these single women, because single women actually are some of the highest spenders in the society. They are willing to travel, they are very willing to explore different things, they are more likely to dine out, and they are more likely to try what we call experience tourism, meaning tours that provide you with experiences rather than just go here, take a photo, and then come back.
But for the increasing numbers of young Chinese who stay single by choice, there is still a major problem to face. How do they deal with their parents? And one group of people is trying to get parents to rethink their stance. They're the Anti-Marriage Pressure Union. They first caught the public eye with an advert posted in the Beijing underground during the Chinese New Year of 2016. The ad quickly gained a huge following. Its creator is 31-year-old Chen Yingying.
在就是去年年底的时候，就在某一次线下聚会的时候，这个春节又要来了，然后又要回家了。这个就是我们那些未婚的小伙伴，然后就开始在说，这个亲戚又要催了，然后父母又要逼了。就这个时候，忽然间有个小伙伴，他忽然间就是灵机一闪，那有没有这个可能性，就是我们来出钱来去做一个能够反映年轻人心声的反逼婚的广告呢？
The advert addressed the parents directly, telling them not to worry. Singles can lead a happy life too. It cost over $5,400. The funds were raised by the group themselves, as well as through an online crowdfunding campaign.
其实我们吧，当时做这个广告，我们也知道，就是我们财力有限，就是能做的就那么点。但是呢，我们想，我们不应该就是起止于一个广告，像父母他可能。 那个春节回家，他又逼婚了，然后子女他这个时候就可以说啊，您知道吗？就是最近在东直门有一个广告，怎么样怎么样怎么样的，他们就可以就这个话题，然后来交流双方的想法了，就是一个交流的过程。The
ad is a small attempt to narrow the generational gap that has been the main source of marriage pressure. We've witnessed how hard some young people are trying to escape it. The fact is, Chinese youngsters are marrying later. Now, the main issue is getting their parents to embrace their choice.
Actually, I don't like using单身, 非单身来评判一个人。哦，我是不是？ 单身其实是我自己选择的一个权利，我并不觉得像大家说的，我现在这个年纪单身，我有多么的可怜，我有很多事情要自己做。我觉得如果我选择单身，你也不需要同情我。那当然，这也不是一件值得骄傲的事情，并没有因为觉得我单身，然后我自己独立，我的生活过得很好，特别骄傲。我觉得这就是一个普通的状态。Sorry，刚才没开机。
2000左右吧，没有很多。买猫粮、猫砂这些，这个只会多不会少吧。
今年双十一用了1000多，然后买的是在淘宝上买了2双球鞋。
因为它那个优惠力度也比较大，我觉得升级了吧，毕竟那个它100亿的那个成交额只要2分钟嘛。
There are 300 million middle class consumers in China. And I think in the next 10, 15 years, that number will double to 600 million. That trend is not going to stop trade war or no trade war. You're seeing kind of this upgrading of consumption of the Chinese consumer. I think that's a long-term trend.
Okay, today's podcast is titled, and we're going to do a series on this. So we're just doing like a de facto introduction today. Reverse mortgage payoff plans. Reverse mortgage payoff plans. Many people, mostly, all seniors, have gotten a reverse mortgage. I think they're predatory loans. I don't like anything about them. My mother got suckered into one of them. And they should really be, in my opinion, banned, outlawed. But they're not, because a lot of seniors get into these things. Their house is paid off. In many cases, the house is paid off. And then some loan officer shoots them this job that, well, you know, you can get this much money and you don't have to pay it back. And I guess in a lot of these seniors' minds, well, loans you have to pay back. Well, with a reverse mortgage, just the word mortgage alone means it's a loan and somebody has to pay it back. So, and if you don't pay it back, the person who actually signed for the loan and received the money, then your next of kin, your children, grandchildren, whoever, they have to pay it back. I know, because I've got to deal with one. Okay. And a lot of times they will close on those loans, not at a title company or a law office. They will close. They'll come to your home. They'll meet you at Burger King or McDonald's, Subway sandwich. They'll meet you in these places, and they'll close. And then a lot of these times, these seniors are just horrible at wrecking. You can't even find the I have not. My mother's been gone 5 years. The loan was taken out. Jesus, 15 years ago, if not longer, maybe 20, close to 20 years ago, and I haven't run across those loan papers yet. So, if you want to hold on to the property, the ancestral house, as I call it, that's why I said, you know, reverse mortgage payoff plans. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. But something struck me yesterday. I've been wanting to talk about this for like almost 11 years now. So now we're getting around to it. So I'm writing a little short ebook along with a workbook. We'll have retreats and workshops. and live streams on essentially Zoom live streams, YouTube live streams, on your particular situation. We're not asking for just other than for the ebook, and we haven't even priced that out yet, but it'll be short. It's not like $5. Okay. And a workbook might cost no more than $10 for the book and ebook. I mean, workbook and ebook. But we'll start off free because you paid enough already. So, and we're going to approach it from, you know, you've had a relative that got one of these and you want to keep the ancestral house. You want to keep the house. You want to keep it in the family. So how do you do it without selling the property? Without selling it, because once you sell it, it's gone out to family for good. And without borrowing any money. Without those two things, how can you keep the house without, of course, if you sell it, you can't keep it. But without selling the property and without borrowing any more money on the house. Reverse mortgage payoff plans. So today we're just doing an introduction on that. And, I played some, you heard some people speak Mandarin over in China. Today is November the 11th, 2024. And on November the 11th in China, that is the biggest selling day on the planet. It dwarfs Black Friday here in the United States. And what they call November 11th over in China is Singles Day. Singles Day. Really has nothing to do with being single. But it has, you can look up the history of it online on Wikipedia or something like that. But you have people, regular people, farmers, regular people, families, individuals, with their smartphones, man, it's just a selling frenzy on 11-11, whatever year it is. Today is 11-11-24, it's the biggest selling day on the planet. And people are selling their, whatever they have to sell, with their smartphones. So look it up online, Singles Day, on YouTube, look it up on Wikipedia and other places, because that's what we shall be doing. Matter of fact, that's one of the strategies that we'll be talking about with reverse mortgage payoff plans. Whatever widget that you might have, you might be a farmer and you're selling tomatoes. You might not have any widget right now, and you're thinking of something. That's why I'm saying look at the videos on Singles Day or anything dealing with live streaming. Live streaming. Okay. What can you sell on Facebook? Not Marketplace. But what can you sell on Facebook Live? What can you sell on YouTube? You know, doing a live stream. What can you get on StreamYard? What can you sell on a live stream video vlog or broadcast, whatever you want to call it? What can you sell? It could be a tiny house. It could be a cupcake. This guy, we played one of the audios today, Austin Lai over in China. He's lipstick. He sold, 15,000 tubes of lipstick within 15 minutes or so? With his cell phone, with his smartphone. So now, you know, you got to have your lighting right. Okay, I'm going to have to bring somebody on because I'm going to have somebody coach me through that whole experience. But we're going to maybe Willie, somebody like Willie Hudson or other people. We'll bring them on this week because now let's get to the reverse mortgage. Let's say you got a reverse mortgage in. You got to pay back $80,000 or $100,000, maybe $200,000. And your parents or grandparents didn't leave any money behind for that. Okay, what do you do? All right, Austin Lai and another one, Valia. Now, That man, they're two top dogs. Between the two of them, they sold $400 million worth of goods. Goods. I mean, they sold from rocket launchers, everything you can think. Houses, cars, lipstick, dresses. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Once again, look it up on YouTube, Singles Day. And look it up online, Singles Day in China. But you find some type of widget that you're comfortable with. You know, pound cakes, whatever it could be. All right. Watch these videos, what they did on, and it's just not in China because people do it over here too, all over the world. But live streaming broadcasts, that is a way, like, what's this guy that I watch? Randy Jones with Incredible Tiny Homes. He did a lot. Now, he does live streams about 3-4 times a week. You see him building tiny homes in his warehouse, and well, he's got a crew that does it now. But they did a special once earlier this year, and in 1 hour, they had over 100 orders for tiny homes. And we're talking about anywhere from 15,000. Matter of fact, let's do the arithmetic on that right now. Okay. Let's say, okay. I'm going to put it at 100 orders. It was over that. 100 orders times 15,000. That's 1.5 million in sales in 1 hour. 1.5 million in sales. Now, it was a five. Now, of course, they had a customer service. Now, they had a setup now because you got to have a setup for on cam. Then they had a customer service set up where they spoke to live people. You know, they sent out real contracts and whatnot. So after they talked to a customer service person, after they read over the contract and people had time to get back to them, within that week, let's say let's say 50, and that's a high number, 50 out of that sent in a $500 deposit. That's $25,000. Not bad in deposits. That's just deposits. But not bad for 1 hour's worth of work. All right. So check it out, Singles Day. And, let's get back to reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgage payout plans. So get something where you got to think it out on. First thing, watch a bunch, because a lot of people are doing this all around the planet. This is not new. This is not new. But a lot of people think, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay off this reverse mortgage. You know, you done got two jobs, three jobs already. Or you got two jobs and your significant other's got two. You got four jobs, it's not enough. You got to find a widget and sell it. You know, Randy Jones, for him, his widget are tiny homes. He builds them. He builds them and sells them. Francois Mignon, I've talked to her about her several times on here with playing her audios on it. Her thing is cupcakes. She was in foreclosure too. Lights cut off. Water shut off. Seven kids and a husband. 9-person household, cupcakes, got the lights cut back on, got the water bill paid and the water shut back on, and got the house out of foreclosure. Cupcakes that she started selling for $1 a piece. So if you don't have a widget, if you don't have a plan, that's why, you know, we're going to release this book. The working title is Reverse Mortgage Payoff Plans. Okay. It'll be a short little ebook that we'll release this week, and we'll tell you how to order it, along with a workbook, and then we'll start right online remotely. So, and you don't have to have a reverse mortgage, but I can relate to this because I got stuck with one. I didn't take it out. My mother took it out. All right, then, you know, I said, well, it's a nice house. Let's see if we can hang on. So far I've been hanging on, and I can tell you what I've done to hang on for 5 years. Because when the person passes over, transition, tell me you got 90 days to get out the house. Come up with the money or get out the house. Me, 5 years. So I'll tell you what I did. We're not giving legal advice. Okay. I'm just what I've done and what I'm doing. Okay. And then, you know, we'll direct you in a few other places on what you can do right now to save that house. So if you want to keep it in the family, because if you don't, you know, then if you got children or grandchildren or something like that, they've got to start off from zero. They've got to start off from zero. Okay. So today's just a short little introduction on the motivational stuff first, and then because today's Singles Day in China. They're 13 hours ahead of us. No, 12 hours ahead of us, depending on what. They're 12 to 13 hours ahead of us, depending on what part. No, no, not 13. They're at least 12 hours ahead of us in most parts of China. So they're into the next day. Today's Tuesday where they are right now. Okay. So but we can take their ideas. And then we got Black Friday coming up here in the United States. So some people will be selling their wares on Black Friday online as well, using their smartphones. So we're going to get somebody in here to talk about how to set all that up, because I've got the basic stuff here, but I haven't sold anything with a live stream. I've done online auctions, but I haven't done a live stream, a video live stream on that. So I need, although I got the phone, I got the tripod, I got the lighting, I got the raw basics, but I haven't put it together yet. So that's where we're going to bring somebody here this week, throughout this week, to talk about it. Because, hey, it's the holiday season now, and as far as I'm concerned. And so we're building up momentum now to launch this into 2025. All right. So, because I'm looking at it, you know, I've been super fortunate so far. Okay. Dealing with the reverse mortgage of my mother. But, hey, man, I don't want it to be curtains ever. All right? So I want to have this thing paid off as soon as possible. So if you got a reverse mortgage you got to deal with, any kind of loan you got to deal with, we're not giving legal advice. We're just, hey, here are examples of what we've done or what other people are doing to get that loan paid off without borrowing any more money. That's why I'm so big on Amish and the Mennonites. They get together as a community and they barn raise, build houses together where there's no debt, there's no mortgage. So we're basically following that paradigm right there. You know, you don't have to become Mormon you don't have to become Amish, Mormon, Mennonite, right? Now, you don't have to convert. Just build some social capital and do it that way. All right, that's it for today. We will, everybody, well, hey, this is Memorial Day. Not Memorial Day. This is Veterans Day, so thank you, veterans, for all your service. And, wait a minute. I can't go just yet. Okay, I had to thumbing up on my board here. So in any event, we'll be in here tomorrow. I think Reba will be in here for Speed Spanish, which is a 5-minute class. Speed Spanish with power phrases. So that's a 5-minute class. And you know what? We're going to go in. You know what? Since it is the holiday season, and people are spending money for that, and a lot of people are going to go broke over one day, Christmas or whatever. But So we're going to dedicate this week to not only reverse mortgage payoff plans, but basically if you have any type of debt, payoff plans, loan payoff plans, it could be reverse mortgage, any kind of loan you got, students, debts, what have you. This whole week, that's the concentration. And then basically how to pay them off by doing live streams. That's the primary way that we're going to leverage ourselves. So don't worry if you don't know how to sell anything. Matter of fact, forget about the word. If you're intimidated by the word sell, you say, I can't sell anything. Look, here's my definition. So selling is teaching. Educate your people that you want to move your product or service to. Educate them, just that. Everybody can teach somebody something. So think about it that way. All right. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day and safe holiday day today. Okay, and now we're buffering. So what must we do? Okay, let's try this.